Okay, Simon Tav Kuf Pei Hei. We're in the middle of Siv Dalet. Bottom line of the Ramah. We spoke about Amaschad B'mitzvah, Omer L'Gemoy. That was the last thing we learned. Let's carry on with the Ramah. Noi again, the minig is Lehakrois to call out Lifnei HaTekeh before the Tekeh, Seder HaTekeh, before the Baal Tekeh, Seder HaTekeh is the Tekeh, Mila B'Mila Kedei Shalo Yiteh, that you shouldn't make a mistake, V'nochonu Litzvah. So what the Ramah is teaching us over here, that is a minig. Noi again, it's not a lochal, I'll speak about that shortly. It's a minig to say to the Baal Tekeh what Tekeh he's meant to blow, right? So Tekeh, and then he blows the Tekeh, and then Torah, right? And that is a minig. Now, this is a little bit comparable to us. Where else do we do it? There's another area of another occasion that we do the same. That's right, Birkas Kohanim. Now, as opposed to Birkas Kohanim, Birkas Kohanim is a halacha. You need to do it. It's a halacha, mefureshes. Here, it's just a minig. You don't really need to do it, but it's a minig. The question is, who does it? Who is meant to do it? And Mishneh Berurah Yudches, bottom line, says the following: Lehakos Hamispal Shachis Makri Makre LeTekeh. It belongs to the Baal Shachis. It belongs to the Chazan of Shachis. He's the one who's meant to say the Tekeh. Uvemokum Sheish Moir Tzedek. And in place there's a Dayan who Makre. He should be the one calling out. Now this is an important precaution because it's not a covered zach. It's not a kibbud. There's many. We're going to learn that it's very complicated. The tekiahs are very, very complex. It's a really complex area of halacha. And you need to get them right. And there's countless shilas. And even if it's going very smooth, the Talmud Chacham knows to differentiate that they might be too short, they might be too long, they might be, the sounds themselves can be differentiated. And we're going to learn many of those, we're going to learn the halachas. And therefore, it's very important that the Baal Mekhi is the one who's ultimately responsible. That the Tekeh, he's the one who decides. Go over them again. And sometimes you just go over the actual Tekeh. Sometimes you have to go over all of them. This is really difficult halachas. And therefore, it's important to realize that it's the Baal Makre has to be, as he says, a Dain or a Boire Tzedek. It's really important. Now, what about the first Tekeh? Is there any shyness about it? If we think about it, is there any shyness about he makes a brocha and then the Baal Makre says Tekeh and then he blows the Tekeh? Can you think of any shyness? Hefsek, wow, amazing. You said it without the Hefsek, you said it. That's right. There's a shayla, potentially a shayla of Hefsek. You meant to interrupt before a brocha and the fulfillment of the mitzvah. So is that okay over here or not?
It's different between that and any other one.
Speaks
in the first one, he speaks during the second.
Yeah, but then
he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah yet.
Right.
So why would the difference be between that one and any other note?
Well, you're right. So let me rephrase that a little bit. The first set. Okay, but the truth is, with the first key, you may have probably fulfilled something already. But to make the question even clearer, then we may as well ask for the first set. Why is it not hefsek? Very good. So you are saying something, a really interesting point, that is to say, how do we do it on Birkas Kohanim? How do we do it with regards to Birkas Kohanim? How do we do it over there? We'll say it as well, right? We say Yivarech Echo is going to say it. So the truth is that there is a bit of an issue over here, and the Mishnah Berurah we're going to see in a minute is going to discuss that really there's no real chance he's going to get it wrong the first Tekeh. It's highly unlikely he's going to somehow not know what is the first Tekeh. I mean, you ask your 3-year-old daughter what is the first Tekeh, I mean, she'll know what it is. She's going, you know, you can't, it's unlikely the Baal Tekeh is going to make a mistake with regards to which Tekeh is the, which one is the first sound. So really, you're making over here something which might be potentially hefsek, but you're saying that it's not necessarily hefsek, but there's a question over here, it's a questionable action of saying Tekeh, and there's no reason for it, it's not justification really for it, because it's unlikely to get it. So that's why there's a bit of a Mishnah Berurah over here that says the following. The Mishnah Berurah on the bottom line of Yud Ches says, Gam Tekeh Rishoino Yakir Lefonov. He says, you may also be maki, call out the first Tekeh, Afal Gav, to the Shrech Kokachshit, although it's not likely it's going to make a mistake. Nevertheless, the Mishnah Berurah allows it. The truth is, if you look in the Shai Tzion over here in the bottom, he is not so convinced about it. And he says that if there's no minik, one should refrain from doing that. If there's a place that has not established minik, you're making a new shul, you're splitting, you're fed up of a certain place, you're opening up your own place, because the shul is too fast or too slow, too old or too young, and you're making your own Beis Medrash, then you have to, and you're making a new, rather ideally, chatchila, the Dayan should be not makir, should not call out, the Baal Makir should not call out the first kiyah. That's the Shai Tzion Paskins, lechatchila, because it's a shayla of a hefsek, but the Mishneh Berurah inside, he's makel, and that's generally, I think that's the minhag. Know what you think? Thinking about the places that we know, he calls out the first kiyah or not? Yeah. What is generally the minhag? It is, huh? I think it is.
Never heard anything else.
Never heard anything else, yeah. Yeah, okay.
What about during, when you do it during the Shmuel Esrei, for those who have that minhag? I mean, I've never been to a shul to do that, but
right.
Put it out then as well.
So there is no makom to be machmi at all, because you're for sure, as far as, you mean...
No, when you do it in the sun, Shmuel Esrei.
Right.
Not in the...
Right, there is no, you're saying there's a hefsek with regards to what?
I'm not sure.
You've fulfilled the mitzvah already. It's just the altsminig, and therefore there's no shalal with regards to hefsek. It's not hefsek. Just as much as... Pardon?
Is there not hefsek to the Shmuel Esrei, the person...
Well, just as much as the tkiyas are not. This is also not going to be. That's part of the tkiyas, the moment. Only what? In ger what?
During
Salim Shmuel Esrei.
The Adas
Yeah. Ah. They do it. When do they do it? They do it during the action. Right. Okay. Fine. If they're makbid. Right. The emphasis is that the Baal Makir, if you listen carefully, as I'm sure we're all aware, that the Baal Makir has got these codes sometimes that he has between him and the Baal Tokeah with regards to going up there. Yeah, I'm sure you're aware of it. Yeah. No. That if he goes up, if the way he says Tkiyo, if it's the first Tkiyo or the final Tkiyo, he goes up. Tkiyo, or he goes Tkiyo. Oh, there's some, yeah, there's some, yeah, I'm sure, yeah, there's some, and there's also other codes that often the Baal Makir has got with the Baal Tekeah, just to make things that in order to avoid potential shadows of Hefsek. Shavarim Tua maybe as well, yeah. Right, continues the Mishneh Berurah. Pam Achas, one occasion, lo yoyu choylim litkoya, they were not able to blow the shofar, it just didn't work. V'hafach ha-shofar, they turned around the shofar. V'kor ha-le-soich, and he called into it, v'yi noyam. He said, into the shofar, v'yi noyam. V'shuv yochlu litkoya, and then it worked. Imagine that, they said, the pasuk v'yi noyam, and then it worked. And then Mishneh Berurah, the reason why Mishneh Berurah brings this over here, because he doesn't like it so much. Because of Hefsek. How can you start saying Veinoyam? You just said the Brocha, and you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah yet. So how can you start saying Veinoyam over here? It's a problem of Hefsek. You're interrupting.
Presumably, he's already started trying to blow.
Oh, well, we're not talking about that. That would have been an easy way out. But it's clearly not the case, because it didn't work at all. Nothing came out. You're right. If something would have come out, he would have done successfully some sounds, the shayla would have been not so serious. But over here, the case was that it just didn't work. So, I'm a dogma vava, she's a dafka betiyas the movement. He says, well, that's only betiyas the movement. In other words, they have fulfilled the main mitzvah already. And they're doing Shmoneh Esrei. Avol betiyas the miyushev, but the first tkiyas, which are called tkiyas the miyushev, have hefse gomu, it's taka hefse gomu, ben brocha le tkiyah, between the brocha and the tkiyah. I'm beshov a tshuvishim yashiv ktsas the vazem. I showed tshuvish gudom mahalach, that he was, that anyway needed to swap the shofar, it was anyway hefse already, and he's got a mahalach. Okay. Umikol mokum lechatchila, nevertheless lechatchila, nirali en yazdaiti, she'ein nekidah lasus chen. Don't speak into the shofar, if you haven't filled the mitzvah. Don't start singing ve'inoyam. Alayna, don't start speaking to the calling to the shofar if you're not matzliach. Try to do without. Get another shofar, do something else, call somebody else, but don't speak into the shofar. Ve'imutzach likach shofar acher, ein tzorich lachzor levorach. If you take another shofar, you don't need to make another boruch. Kim she'yumunach lefonav al ha-shulchan. Since it was placed on the shulchan, mistam adaito al kulam. We mentioned that earlier, Baal Tekeah has got two shofars on the bima, so and he's swapping, he doesn't have to make a new boruch. Then it would be a shayla. If not, no sound came out. We'll have to make a new brach indeed. Ha-makev, yeah. Well, he said, Ve'inoyam. That's what the Ve'inoyam. Ve'kor le'soich Ve'inoyam. It's probably a type of skula. A skula that hopefully Hashem, you know, that's going to work now. Pardon? Yeah. Yeah. It is a tefillah. Yeah. Ha-makev at-tikeah. Here the Mishnah Berurah teaches us that Makre and the Tokeh Roilem Shilmu do hate of Dinah Shofar. The Mal Makre and the Tokeh need to know the halachas well. The Seder Atkias in the order of the Tkias. Kileform Mezes Sibu Neufel Tos Befiya Makre. Because occasionally there's mistakes. Oy Bishkagas are together. Sometimes the Baal Makre makes a mistake. Occasionally the Baal Tokeh makes a mistake. But so you need to know what to do. It's not straightforward. It's complex halachas. In Mitkeh Al Aland, you keep on going. Oy Lachzel Roisha Seder. You start from the set, do you restart the set, or do you just blow that one again? So these halachas are complex, and the Mishnah Berurah says that they need to know the halachas. That's what the Mishnah Berurah teaches us. Yeah, Seif Hei. Hanoitel Tzchar, Seif Hei in Shulchan Aruch, which is the final Seif in Sim Tov Kuf Pei Hei. Hanoitel Tzchar, Litkeya Shofar B'Rosh Hashanah. Somebody who takes a wage, he gets paid for blowing the Shofar, Oy K'dei L'Spalel, or there is a Chazan, Oy L'Tagem, B'Shabbos Yom Tovim, or he's a metagamon. Excuse me, he's the one who translates. That, remember in the previous generations, after lining, they used to translate what was the lining of the seder. Wasn't that a beautiful idea? Taimonim still do it, I believe. I never attended. Has anybody attended Taimonim Shemenyan? Taimonim Shemenyan? Mashrei once attended, and he said they really still do it. They still do it. After lining, I don't know if it's every... I don't know when by the Aliyah. I don't know they Damatagim to translate what was said before. Yeah, it's a beautiful idea. So if somebody takes a wage for that on Shabbos, on a regular Shabbos, or on Yom Tov, if you're taking a wage for blowing the shofar, for being a chazan, or for being a translator, you are not going to get blessing from the wage that you took at the very least. Bahavlo, that's a good shaila. You are assuming, Moshe, that your question is based on the fact that you're understanding that this is because of Schar Shabbos. Your question is based on the fact that it's Schar Shabbos. We're not allowed to take Schar Shabbos. We're not allowed to take a wage for working on Shabbos. Therefore, you're asking, Havlo would generally work? And should it work here? Surely it should work here as well. The answer to your question is that Pashtus, although it's a bit of a machloek, because Pashtus has nothing to do with Schar Shabbos. This is a different concept that it's not Schar Shabbos, it's not for working on Shabbos. There's a general idea that for those holy tasks, you shouldn't take a wage. But there is some achonim go yumahalach, but the Pashtus is not like that, yeah? I don't know.
Is this to include or exclude, because it doesn't mention the Baal Kriya for laning, which is a lot of work. And
correct.
Is that he's saying, etc., etc., and all the different things people do, or is he just saying these three things specifically you shouldn't take a wage for, but anything else is not included in that?
Say that again.
Is he saying specifically Baal Tefillah, Baal Tekeya, and the Targuman ought not to take a wage, but Baal Kriya could take a wage or something?
Oh, I see. You're asking, what about Baal Kriya?
I'm saying, is he excluding or is he including?
Now, the truth is that with regards to Baal Kriya, in Shulchan Aruch's times, there was no such thing.
Right?
So you're asking, what would be Baal Kriya in contemporary times? Is that your question?
I guess.
Yeah.
And anything else that people do.
Right. What do you think?
They look at Prisbal. They only allow Prisbal because otherwise people won't.
Yeah, so they're saying that otherwise people won't do it.
I mean, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, it is a lot of work. All those holy tasks are a lot of work.
Should have been included in here. You're saying the reason he might not be is because of all the extra work he has to do, but so too.
The chazan also, yeah.
Also, he's blowing, he practices all the time before, so I think it's really different.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying they should or shouldn't, I just wanted to understand.
Yeah, Pashtus is included in that as well. But again, there is some poskim. Let me finish up with that. Some poskim say that it's because of Schar Shabbos. If it's Schar Shabbos, that's not the Pashtus. But if it's Schar Shabbos, then Havlo would work. Yeah. Okay. Siman Tov Kuf Pei Vav. Dinei Shofar Shel Rosh Hashanah. Now we're going to go with regards to the the actual shofar. The halachas with regards to the actual shofar was Hashanah. Okay, which shofar does it need to be? What kind of shofar? How does it need to look? What is it made of? Right. Sif Aleph. Shofar shel Rosh Hashanah. Shofar that using on Rosh Hashanah. And this over here means, it's, as the Mishnah is teaching us straight away, this is just with regards, the halachas we're going to learn now, is just with regards to shofar they're going to be using on Rosh Hashanah. We learned that there's also tkiyas when there's a fast day. When tragedy befalls in Chas V'Shalom Klal Yisrael, you also need to blow shofar, but these halachas won't apply to that shofar there. We're just talking specifically Rosh Hashanah shofar. Okay, mitzvah b'shel ayil. The shofar needs to be out of the ram, an ayil. The kofof needs to be curled. Ubediyavet, kol ha-shofres ksherim, all the shofar are kosher, ben pshutim, ben kfufim, whether it's straight or whether it's curled. One second, let me just finish. They're all but yeah, kosher, but ideally you should try to take a shofar which is kofuf, which is curled up. Now the truth is as follows. Have you ever looked at the ram, or have you looked, you see how do they grow? Oh, you brought it, amazing, brilliant, oh, amazing, oh, beautiful, thank you so much. That's really amazing. Now, it's really beautiful. This is brilliant. Thank you so much. This is brilliant. I did to bring it tonight already. Now, have you ever seen a ram? It's never going to grow like this. Have you ever this part over here? It doesn't grow out of ram like that. It's much more curled. So, have you noticed that? So, how come? How come? Where do they find those shofars that grow like this? The answer is, they don't come like that. They are factories, shofar factories, and they do two things. First of all, they make it hollow, and we're going to speak about that later. This is Seif a bit later. They make it hollow, and which is the psul, we're going to speak about that. And the other thing is that they make this straight, and it's not so hard to make it straight. You can actually do it at home as well. I mean, I haven't done it, but I know it's not such a big deal. It's just with boiling hot water or with a lot of heat, they bend quite easily. They bend quite easily. So you can do that. After this comes the polish. They also don't come, right? The polish is also part of the, you know, it looks nicer when you blow a shofar that is shiny. So they don't, right? They also, that was probably at one point, you can see from here, it was mamash curled up, right? And they just smoothened it. It's as simple as smoothing it. Okay, now, that's why. So the truth is that if we're talking about curled up, it's really, really important. That's why you've got a heksh over here, because the pshat is you can easily make a shofar from curled into straight and from straight into curled up. It's not a big deal. If you've got the right tools, you know how to do it, and you want to make a few pounds, you can take any shofar and make it into the shape that you want. Therefore, to have a curled shofar, if we're going to see, it's actually not makir b'dieved, I'm just saying that if we're talking about curled up, you should know that they don't naturally come like that. This, I'm sure, was probably was that shape, but over here it wasn't, probably. I'm safe to assume that it wasn't like that. And that's why it's really, really important that you take that's what we're going to see soon, why there is such a thing as a heksher. This is not a new invention, the fact you need a heksher. The fact you need to make sure that it comes from if we're going to learn the halachas of a shofar, it makes sense to take a shofar which has got a reliable authorization. This is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful...
What would they have done to render it non-kosher?
Plenty of things. The whole list that we're going to see soon, if there's holes and there's plenty of things. If it splits, you're going to put them together. We're going to see plenty of halachas. Now, kofuf happens to be that if it's not kofuf, if it's not curled up, but yeah, but it's okay, even if it's a straight type of... haven't actually seen a mamish, a straight one. Have you seen a straight one? Yeah, wavy. Yeah, straight. Is it? It would actually be kosher, but if you
straight and then
they
go up at the end.
Yeah, that's right. What do you think? Is that considered kofuf? If a shofar is slightly rounder, slightly curled up, is that considered kofuf? Because you see that lechatchili should have a shofar which is kofuf. Would that include in kofuf as well? No, is it not included in kofuf? What do you think about Isai? If it's just not as beautiful as this, it just goes a little bit. What do you think? Would that be lechatchila? Should you take a shofar, or ideally try to pick another one which is more, which is as beautiful as it is? This is really stunning. Mamash stunning, this. Man, that's interesting, because the poskim actually say no. If it's got a curl, if it's got one little, then it's already considered fine, and you've got the hid already of a curled shofar. So lechatchila, that's fine. Now, right, okay, so that's with regards to, we're going to get back to that. Can I just look at a few Mishnebuas inside? Thank you so much. The Mishnebuas says, so we've got so far, we've learned now that you need to have, and it should be kofuf, And we've learned that it should be over Ay. Let's see what the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot Beis says. B'shal Ay lezeicha kedas Yitzchok. The reason why we're taking out a ram is because zeicha lakedas Yitzchok. Uvichlal zeicham kivs on a cave if it's female. What's the female's name? What is that? Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Who zeicha tfei le'ayil? Kivs on a cave. Elo de mehandrin b'yoyis anuagin lachzo achashel ayil dafke lechatcheli should take out of the ram shu zeicha tfei le'ayil shel Yitzchok, because that was exactly what was used back in the Yitzchok. Therefore, ideally, if you can take a ram's shofar. V'kofuf sifkot gimel why kofuf klesim shichfuf libam lemakum. That's a Gemara. That's a Gemara. That's not an Achron. That's not a Rishon. That's a Gemara. That one should take a kofuf, a curled up, rounded shofar, because we should also curl ourselves out. We should be koif of ourselves towards Ribono Shel Olam. So just to make that clear, and Mishnah Berurah later speaks about that, we've got two lechatcheles over here. One lechatchel is kofuf, and one that's made out of ayil. Which one is more important? If you have to choose, you're in the shop, you're choosing a shofar. One is curled up, but it's not made out of ram. It's made out of a different kosher animal. But it's round, but it's not a ram. Oh, and I've got a ram, but it's straight. What am I meant to do? What am I meant to take? Ram. So, ram?
Ram, because you can make it straight.
You can make it straight. Okay, so leaving out your argument, which I want to get back to in a minute, the answer is actually no. Kofuf comes first. And the reason, because kofuf actually is actually a Gemara. Because kofuf, the fact that it's curled up, is a Gemara, therefore ideally you should go for kofuf. The second most important is the fact that it's an ayil. Now going back to your point, you're saying that actually it doesn't matter if it's straight, because you can actually make it. So do you think that would make it into kofuf halachically? If you have got a straight, imagine you go to the shop and you see that beautiful shofar which is straight. And you say, it doesn't matter, I have my means of making it nice and looking as beautiful as this one. Would I be fulfilling the mitzvah, the hiddur, of kofuf, if I've artificially done it? What do you think?
Don't know.
What do you think, Abu Sa'id? If artificially enhanced this shofar into nice and curly?
I would have said yes.
Yeah, you think? Yeah? It's kofuf. It's kofuf now. It's kofuf now. What do you think?
Okay.
Yeah, it's okay. It's curly from the beginning. You're saying it has to be curly from me. What do you think? Artificially shaped it.
We know that B'diavet is okay anyway.
Right. I'm talking about the lechatcheli, right. B'diavet, if it's possible.
Probably needs to be cut from the beginning.
Yeah, that's right. The person can say it needs to be cut from the beginning. If you want to fulfill this hiddur of kofuf, it needs to be the natural. Yeah, but it's a natural requirement. It's a requirement of the shofar has to be like that. If the tzur of the esrog has to be like that. If the tzur of the shofar has to be like that, and it's, if it's artificially made like that, it's not considered the actual shofar. Well, again, but yeah, but it's fine anyway. We're talking about the hiddur. Also the hiddur, you should take something which is kofu mitchilas bios on the post, can say. Yes. That's what the Mishnah Berurah Sifkot Aleph says. No, it does not. Right. Okay. Now, what about other? Now, let me just ask you one question, which the contemporary. I was very surprised. Only the contemporary poets can bring this. What's the halacha? If I've got a beautiful shofar, it's made out of ayil, and it's kofuf, and it's really stunning. But you know what? Whenever I blow, it just comes out the actual coil of the shofar. The voice, the sound of the shofar is not nice. It's kosher. It's not like air coming out. But the actual sound is not a neat sound. It's not a nice. It doesn't sound quite right. Is this shofar better or worse than another shofar, which the sound is that beautiful sound, but it's, let's say, not made out of ram? Or it's not totally, or it's not kofuf. Which one do you think is better? Again, you've got one that has got the halachic hidurim of kofuf and ayil, but it doesn't sound nice. Or the other one, which sounds very nice, but it doesn't have ayil and kofuf. What would you say? Function before form. Very practical. Function before form. Yes. So you're saying that if it doesn't sound, yeah. Yeah. Sound? Who says we don't find a halacha that it needs to sound nice, beautiful? Yeah, what else? What do you think?
We're going to see
that we're going to learn some halachas actually, which is good to know that you're going to learn some halachas, but I'm not talking about those halachas. I'm talking specifically about the nice sound. I'm not talking about dollar. We're going to find some halachas that if it goes up and down within the sound, it's a bit of a shaila. And we're going to find also if it's very airy, it's no good as well. But we're going to find those shailas. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the sound, which is not very nice. You know, it sounds a bit hoarse. You know what I mean? Or a bit high-pitched. Do you know what I mean? So it's those kinds of sounds. But, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah? So therefore... it is still a kol shofar.
If there's a possum, which is kol shofar, and there's a gemara, which is
a guru. Yeah. Yeah? You're saying that still? What do you think? What would you have gone for? So it's very interesting. It's interesting that you don't find earlier poskim speaking about it, only contemporary poskim, and they say that, almost like you are saying, you and Rabbi Sinkarali said the same thing, that there is no such thing, we don't find a halachic requirement that the sound should be nice. There's no such halacha, and therefore, as long as the sound is a kosher sound, you should go for it. You should go for it. Oh, that's a very good point. Very good. That's really interesting. That's very true. They're very true. That's such a nice point. He doesn't say that, but that's. Yeah, that's a beautiful point. That the nice sounding sound of a shofar is very subjective. You can't, you know, you're 100% right. That's a very good point. That's, yeah, you're saying, you don't disagree to that.
Yeah, like a majority of
the minion, right, his kids sound right. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. That's a good point. Yes, you're right. Because of, yeah, right, you're right. It's a valid point.
The mitzvah
of
the shofar, is it just to hear it or to awaken to shofar?
No, halachically, you need to, the mitzvah is shmias kol shofar. The listening, the hearing of a kol shofar. There is definitely a deeper meaning and a deeper intention to it, which has probably something to do with what you're saying. But halachically speaking, as far as the ged of the mitzvah, the actual the definition of the mitzvah, is just to hear the sound. If somebody doesn't know anything beyond that, he's still fulfilling the mitzvah. Make God then. Yeah. Okay. Continues the... Let's continue a little bit. V'shal para, if it's made out of a second line of the Shulchan Aruch. V'shal para, if it's a horn of a cow, posul b'chol gavna. So what we're saying now, you need to make sure that the animal that it comes from is a ram or a sheep or something similar to that. We're going to soon exactly mean what it means. But if it's a para, it's possible b'chol gavna. Even with the ever, it's no good. So as opposed to the earlier conditions, there was kof of an isle, which is not makiv with the ever. But if it's out of para, it's makiv with the ever. V'chol karni roi v'chayis shem etzem echot ve'elem mibifnim zachus psulim. Says the Shulchan Aruch, the way it works as follows. There's a difference between a shofar and a horn. If you've got a horn, then it's made out of one bone. It's made out of one bone. You've got a horn that sticks out of the head of the animal. It's made out of one bone. Okay? A shofar is not like that. A shofar, it's fascinating. When you take off the shofar and with a bit of heat and you just bang it out, you can have that piece over here, which is going to come out. The inside of here, a shofar is really, really hollow. So it's not, pardon? Yeah, that's right. You're right. It's a bit of a, you sometimes have to be actually drilled out and taken out. But really, what you're right. Sometimes you need a bit of sophisticated, but the truth is that it's actually hollow. Really, really, really it's hollow. Something grew into it. And that's the zachus. That's the male part of the animal that has that thing growing into it. But it's hollow. As opposed to a horn. A horn which is totally, which is, yeah, that's right. So that's what he's saying over here, that that's why a shofar made out of a keren, which is a horn, is possible even medieved. That's not considered a shofar at all. A shofar comes from Lashon, as Mishnah explained, shofares, tube, because it's like a tube, really, because really it's hollow. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Yeah? You're not convinced? Yeah, makes sense? Okay, so that's what Mishnah Berurah says over here in Sifkot and Vov, Shal Porov Vuad in Shoyer. Ox or cow is the same thing. V'atam mipnei shenikru keren. Sifkot and Vov. It's considered a horn, v'lo shofar, and it's not considered a shofar. V'chein karni roev chaya, Sifkot and Zayin. K'moi hara'omim v'atzvoim v'chidoim, all the gazelles and animals like that. That's going to be possible. V'psul shalahem hu, mishum the shofar tzorich li'cholul. A shofar needs to be hollow. The shofar meloshen shofares. Very interesting. So if you ever had somebody ask you why is shofar called shofar, it's because, not because it looks like a shofar, but because it comes from loshen shofares. It's like a tube. The psulim elu de parod be'etzem echod min ha'Torah. This psul over here is makir v'di'evet. It's min ha'Torah. V'afilu enu shofar acha ein litkia behenu. If you've got no shofar available at all, only a shofar made of, which comes from a cow, from an ox, or anything like that, no point blowing it. You're not fulfilling the mitzvah with it anyway. Just to finish off, maybe the Ramah, we'll finish off with that. V'chein shofar mibehemet tmei apostle. This Ramah over here is a bit controversial. He says that if it's from any animal which is non-kosher. I don't want to use that either, because that's right, the species you can't eat, from a type of animal which you can't eat, then the Ramah says you can't, such a shofar is possible. It's a bit, the Mishnah Berurah says that there's a machlokes is achronim about that, and some amatir. Now, there's not, however, I specifically didn't want to use non-kosher animal, because if this was an animal which you couldn't eat because it was a trefer or a vela or something, you couldn't eat it because it wasn't shechted kosher or something like that. Nevertheless, the shofar would be a kosher shofar. Yeah, it's just I'm talking about the type of animal, the species of animal which is not kosher. That's when the shofar cannot be used according to the Ramah. Yeah, does that make sense? Yeah? Okay.